Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? That good, huh? How's everybody doing this morning?
Good.
Good. All right. All right. I trust you had a...
How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. I trust everybody had a good thing. Good Easter and not Thanksgiving, of course, but, you know, be thankful for the resurrection of our Savior and what he's done for us and the relationship we have for him. And so praise the Lord for that. I'm ready. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for each one here. And Father, of course, we desire to be that much more aware of your presence. We know that you are in our heart. We identify your presence within our own heart, within our own spirit, Father, and we thank you for the relationship that we each have with you through faith in Christ. We thank you, Father, for this time to just be able to freely come together and to worship you and to learn of you, to feed on the Lamb of God. And I pray that you just manifest yourself to us in greater ways and that each one of us, Father, will specifically be spoken to by you. And I ask, Father, please, that you will honor that. I pray you'll bless the preaching of your word and the application of your word, and may it just lift you up high. May we as your people go out and be ready to be in the world as light, as salt, as your people, looking for opportunities, Father, to be a witness to those around us. And, of course, to be a witness as much as we can to those around the world. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, God has sent us, his people, to be a missional church. And the first time I heard that word missional, I thought, oh, great, another fad term. You know what I mean? Not fat term, fad term. You know, I just a couple of years ago or so, I heard our director of missions say, you know, we're missional, and the emphasis is missional, 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 and I'm thinking it's another modern terminology type thing. But really, to be missional is to be on mission. And, you know, Jesus was on mission when he was sent by the Father to the earth to die on the cross for our sins and to be buried and to raise from the grave and to declare that victory over the claims of death, for death had no claim over him. And to declare the wonders of eternal life and heaven itself. You know, Jesus was sent to do a mission, and he followed through and did that mission. But sometimes you and I forget that we're on mission. We are to be a missional church, but more importantly, and I re-stress that, more importantly, we are to be a missional people. And I think missional people first, before we can even be a missional church. Oftentimes I think we look at the church to be missional, to do its missions, to do its outreach, to do its work, and in some way, in our own thinking, in our own rationale, we, by saying, well, we look to the church to do that, we have a way of detaching ourselves from our own personal responsibility to be that person on mission in Christ Jesus. And so we need to live a life that is missional, live a life as people that are sent by the Lord Jesus Christ himself to be his people in a world of darkness that needs to know him. In John 20:21, it says, Jesus said to them again, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I send you. Now, when God the Father sent Jesus, Jesus went. It was of his own free will, and he went to the earth, and you have the incarnation of God. You have Jesus in the flesh. You have the mission and the goal of the cross and death and resurrection and the provision of eternal life and reconciliation with God through faith in Christ Jesus. That was the mission. But in that process, Jesus, as we just read in John 20:21, has sent us to be on mission. And so when we think about the church being on mission and reaching out and doing the things to make a difference in the world for Christ, sometimes I think again, and I reiterate, that we detach ourselves from that personal responsibility and we lay it all on the church. But in reality, the primary focus of God's people is to be a people on mission, and the church is there to help The church is there to assist. The church is there to come alongside. But the responsibility is not on the church to be missional as an organization, but on God's people to be missional. For we are called of God to do the work that God has called us to do. And in fact, Jesus has sent you and I. Each one of us in our own particular circumstances, our work environment, our home environment, our living situations, whatever the case may be, are sent by Jesus personally. We can read that passage of scripture and it says, and I send you also. And again, we look historically. We don't look to the relativeness of the personal directive of God's word to you and I today. And so the question is, are we aligning our lives with the command of Jesus to be God's people sent into a world to bear witness of him? Jesus was a sent one. And we rejoice in that. What would the world be like if Jesus wasn't sent? What hope would we have? None. And I would think the world would almost have annihilated itself if it wasn't for God's grace, right? At this point. And said Jesus was the sent one. In John 6:38 it says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me." And we're to do the same thing. Our life is not ours. It's been bought with the blood of Christ. We belong to Jesus Christ. When we receive Christ as our Savior, we have no claim on our own life. Although we think and we realize in the world that we live in that we have every right to claim every bit of who we are for ourselves. But God said we're to die to ourselves and live for Christ. We are to be God's people. We do not belong to ourselves. And that's a hard concept for people, even Christians, to wrap their minds around, because the world so much so enforces that you got to do what's best for you, and it's all about you, it's all about you, it's all about me, it's all about me, when in essence it's all about Jesus for the believer. And that should become the central focus. He should always be the central focus of our lives in every area that we live. "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me." Jesus refers to his being sent by the Father 14 times in John chapters 4 through 8. Validation that Jesus was sent. In Romans 8:3 it says, "What the law could not do, since it was limited by the flesh, God did. He condemned sin in the flesh by sending his own Son in flesh like ours under sin's domain and as a sin offering." And now Jesus is the model for us to represent Christ in the world. Jesus said, "For me to live is to do the will of my Father," right? And he's modeling an example for us. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's the Messiah. He's the one sent. He's the Christ. And he is our master and our Savior. And we are to model what he does. Your will and my will should be the same as Jesus' will as we walk with him, to do the will of the Father in our life. That should be our motto for life. That should be our goal. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. For me to live is to do the will of my Father for me and not my own will for me. And to centralize Christ in the center of our lives, in the center of our hearts, and to always put him first, seeking out his will. But that takes a commitment that says, "Lord, I want to do your will." That says, "Lord, I want to respond to what you want for me as a believer. I want to be the person that you've called me to be in this world. I want to follow you. I don't want to take the reins in my own hands," which scripture says, if we do, we will lose our life if we take the reins of our own life in our own hands. But if we let go of those reins and transfer them over to Jesus and allow him to be Lord first in our life and for us to seek him and his will, then we will discover the life that God has for each one of us. And I will tell you this, that any life that God has planned for us was preordained before the world began. And anytime we embrace him and his will for us, it's far greater than any will we can determine for ourselves. Far greater. The plans of God are far greater than we can have for ourselves. And the fulfillment of living out the life that God has called us to live in him is far greater than anything that we could think that this world could offer. Jesus is the model for us to represent Christ in the world. Some examples of those that were sent were Timothy and Titus, in the pastoral epistles to these men of God, they were sent. In the book of Acts, we know that with Acts 1:8, we were sent with power and authority in the name of Jesus. Ananias, get this, Ananias sought the will of the Lord, and Ananias was sent to pray for Paul and open his eyes. How would you like to be sent by God to Obama? How do you say his name? No. Osama bin Laden, right? It just went like this. It was gone. Boom. But I mean, you're thinking about, okay, now God says you're going to him and you're going to share the truth of the gospel to him. That was what Ananias was told to do, to go and share the gospel with Paul. By faith, he was willing to die to himself, and he was willing to say, Lord, this is your will. I'm seeking your will. I'm following you, and I will go, even though I'm scared to death in my own self, but confident in your will. And so you understand what I'm saying about that. Ananias was sent to pray for Paul and open his eyes. And Paul and Barnabas were sent as missionaries from the church. You see, being sent is part of the character of God. God the Father sent his Son to walk in. Puberty kicking in again. To walk in to, or to walk closely with Jesus is to have a heart that says, Lord, send me. Have a heart that says, I want to respond to what you want. Our desire is to be in your will, whatever that will is for my life. As they were ministering to the Lord and fasting in Acts 13, verses 2 and 3, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have called them to. Then after they fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them off. Second thing I want us to understand, the first was that God the Father sent Jesus. He was sent, and his desire was to do the will of the Father, and we're to have that same desire, and we're to have within us the nature of God that has that compelling agent and awareness that we have been sent to be his people in a world of darkness. And the second thing I want us to understand is that the scripture clearly sent or sends, or the scriptures clearly send us into the world to represent Christ. We can go all the way back to Genesis, which shows the character and nature of God with that common awareness of the urgency of being sent as God's people. In Genesis 12, 1 through 3, it says, the Lord said to Abram, go out from your land, your relatives, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who treat you with contempt, and all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. God wanted the people of Israel to be God's people representing him. In Isaiah 6:8, it says, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah said, Hanai, which is send me. Here I am, send me. Hanai. Is that your heart? Is that my heart? My heart once is that, but I have to maintain that heart. I have to say, Lord, I always want to be in the center of your will. I always want to be that vessel you want me to be. I always want to discover the plan and purpose that you have for my life. I always want to stay on course of the journey that was preordained by you for me. I want to be what you created me to be. I want to be successful. You know, years ago, when we were living in Knoxville, Tennessee, one of the deacons and I were out visiting, and we were talking about what the definition of success is. And I told him, said, you know, the definition of success is living obediently to Jesus. If we want success in life, live obedient to Jesus. That's the key. And we will have success and fulfillment and enrichment and power and the awareness of Jesus in our life, which far surpasses what the world has to offer. Send me. Is that your heart? It's the heart that we all should desire. In Matthew 24:14, it says, "This good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed in all the world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." And again in Luke 24:46-48, it says, "He also said to them, 'This is what is written. The Messiah would suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are my witnesses of these things.'" And one of my favorites is in Acts 1:8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." When does the Holy Spirit come upon you and I? When we receive Christ as our Savior. "And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria." And putting it in our terms, you will be witnesses in Kalinga, and you will be witnesses in California, and you'll be witnesses in the United States and throughout the world. God has sent you and I to be the people of God representing him with a heart that's on mission, a missional life, living a life sent by God. With that focus being centered, defined, clearly identified in your life and my life on a consistent basis is to have a successful life of obedience in Christ. It has been said, the church does not have a mission, but the mission has a church. You and I are the ones that have been entrusted with the mission. And we have the church to work through to accomplish that work. Don't allow the subtlety of Satan's tricks to convince us that we're doing God's work just by coming to church. But being the people of God in God's church, working through the avenues that God establishes through his church to reach the people in the world, is what we ought to be thinking. The third thing I'd like to bring out is this. It is within the nature of God and the church to be sent. Sounds a little bit redundant, but I want us to look at some more scripture. That's a good thing, isn't it? You know, my daughter was saying something to me, and everybody has their own taste. But she was saying, "Dad, it's hard to find a church that preaches the word. They pick one verse and then they talk a whole hour on stuff. And I want to be in the word. I want to hear the word." And I'm finding that people respond to the word much more or much better than stuff, because the word is powerful. In Psalm 19:1-4, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims the work of his hands. Day after day they pour out speech, night after night they communicate knowledge. There is no speech, there are no words, their voice is not heard. Their message has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the inhabited world. In the heavens he has pitched a tent for the sun." Man's without excuse, just looking at creation itself, that God exists. It's a witness. Again, John 20:21 says, Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And in 1 Peter 2:9-10, it says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation." I love those words because it's talking about you and it's talking about me. We are a chosen race. We are a royal priesthood. You and I, believers in Christ, a holy nation, a people for his possession, that you may proclaim or preach, proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You see, if it just said preach, oh, that's the preacher's job. But it says really to proclaim, to declare, to herald, to make known the truth about the gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We were once lost, now we're saved. Once we didn't know God's mercy, now we know God's mercy. And more people need to know that. This morning in prayer time, one of those that were praying had said, we need to pray for those that are unfortunate that they will come to know Jesus Christ. Who are the unfortunate? Anybody that doesn't know Jesus. More specifically, those that are lost. We are to live sent. Got a few life applications here I'm going to try putting in the message this morning. How can we be those vessels that live as being sent by God? One, go to church regularly. Don't cuss, don't party, work hard on your job so neighbors, coworkers, et cetera, see you living what you say you are. You know, I think it could be a bold witness if we in our own community do not cuss, or in our homes. Because cussing has become a standard in our schools, my goodness. Cussing's just a second nature, don't even think about it, and it's vulgar. I heard someone say something before that cussing in itself is used to mean that you were just unsophisticated, uneducated, and it was more of a degrading characteristic of who you are. Now it's supposed to be cool. But as a Christian going into the world not living that way, not being part of it, could be a bold testimony. How come you don't cuss? You better than me? No, I'm not better than you, but Jesus died for me, and he wants me to be the witness he wants me to be. Just one foot in the door. Every believer is to live on mission. Look for opportunities to be on mission. Pay attention to mission opportunities provided at a church. Look for neighbors, coworkers, family members who ask you a spiritual question, who are in time of need physically. I had one of our members of our church last week sit down in my living room with me. And he said, Pastor, I got to tell you something. I said, what? He goes, I led for the very first time someone to Christ today. Oh, man, that was awesome. And they were thrilled. They were like, you know, I've never done that before. And now they're coming back to me and they're saying, I need scripture because I'm starting to disciple this guy. And that's exactly what we're supposed to be doing. Exactly what we're supposed to be doing. Look for the opportunities. Don't close our eyes and live in our Cinderella land syndrome, where it's our own world. Go outside the walls of the church. I was visiting someone this week, and one of the things that she had acknowledged was, good, you don't just stay inside the four walls of your church. You go out. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Take what you learn and hear and use it outside the church. Share your faith with a friend. Chat with your neighbor over the fence. Don't just close your Bible when you go home and go without life. Go about life without thinking about how to be on mission for God. We are to live as missional people. Go global. Help with the internet ministries. I can only declare what God has been doing in the internet ministries through our church. And my joke is out of Bethlehem / Coalinga, you know. But right now we have over 1,000 people every week involved in our worship services and our Bible studies in 62 countries. God has blessed that because it's his word. And my prayer is that God's word will go out more freely into the hearts and lives of people around the world. That's a global mission. You can be a part of that. You can join us on a Wednesday night program. You go, okay, here's Pastor putting his plug in. But no, really, because the more people that are on, the more support that's there, the more it encourages others. And the more they're compelled to be a part of that. And what better way to sit and eat dinner and have your pajamas on and have a Bible study in front of you on your computer, live? Can't get much easier than that. Be active on Facebook and attend Wednesday night live. On online Bible study, those are two of the easiest ways to go global. Plan a mission trip through the church, WMU, IMB, NMB. We get the idea. Here's another one before we go on to our next scripture. Go across the street. Ouch. You know, I it's kind of scary to go across the street. You know where I live, and you may know my name. You know, that type of thing. You see your neighbor's needs, help them with a project. You see an elderly neighbor can't rake their leaves, leave a track on a stake in a field in Spanish for field workers to find. Help a poor person get a bag of groceries, put a track in it. You know, if we just ask God how we can be effective in planting the seed. When I was younger, I guess I have to say young now. When I was young, not younger, but young, all relative, of course, about 18 years old, our pastor and our church used to promote the track ministry. And he would say, just take the tracks and consider taking tracks. You know what tracks are? Those little booklets that explain the gospel for different age groups and different categories and stuff. One is like the Pocket League Testament we used to have here. There's so many. Well, anyways, he said, you need to salt. Take the tracks and salt. Well, I went in and I salted the bathroom stalls at my job. You know, the stalls in the bathroom. And about 2 hours later, I went back in the bathroom. And as I'm walking in the bathroom, here comes this booklet flying over the door. I picked it up and I threw it back in. It's a God thing. Read it. But we're called to plant the seed in salt with the Word of God. But look for opportunities. That was my opportunity. I took it. Look for opportunities to be that person on mission for Christ. As believers in Christ following Jesus, we know we've been sent. Not just Jesus, not just the church, but you and I. We are commanded and empowered by God. Matthew 28:18-20, which is our center window here. The Great Commission. Then Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." You know, it's so comforting to know that when we put our neck on the block for Christ, when we step out in areas that aren't secure, when we're threatened and sensing fear and anxiety, that God is with us and He's sent us and commanded us. And as we follow in obedience to Him and do what He calls us to do, we can rely on Him. By God's calling in our lives, we are on mission. It is not a Christian elective. It's not an elective. We're either blocking God out and being disobedient, or we're being good listeners and we're being what God has called us to be. It is not a choice, it is a command. It is not something I choose to do as, oh, something fun. It is what God has sent us to do. Engage people with the redemptive message of the gospel. Hear a person standing in line at the grocery store talking about how miserable life is. Share Christ, give them hope. So many other things. Serve the hurting. Save the lost. You know, we support a little, I shouldn't say a little, but a young lady with home missions on CBU, Cal Baptist University. And we support her as a church. And she's been going to Hmong celebrations, or Hindu celebrations, I think, with her peers at school. And she's connected, and some of these Hindus have come to know the Lord. Some of them are excited about Jesus, looking for opportunities to connect with people, yet not being a part of the world. I'm not changing. I'm not becoming Hindu or whatever. I have my faith, but I'm connecting with people. And that's what she's doing, and I praise the Lord for that. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost." If we're in the body of Christ, which we are, and we're following Him and His will, then we will have a desire to reach out to the lost. I want to go down to James 4:4. "Adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? So whoever wants to be the world's friend becomes God's enemy." We do live in this world. We are subject to the pressures and to the influences of the world around us. But we are called as a holy people, right? A royal priesthood. We are called to be a people that reflect Him, not part of the world, just passing through the world. Contend for the truth of Jesus. Vote for things that are right. Be aware of what's on the table in our government. Connect with people of all backgrounds. Don't isolate people into groups and say, "I'll connect with you or you or you." And whatever background you and I have, we have an opportunity to connect with people through our experiences. So let me conclude with this statement. Believers in Christ, the church itself, Rejoice in being sent. See, it's only a burden if we're not being the people God's called us to be. But if we are being what God has called us to be, missional minded, looking for opportunities, being a positive witness, then it's a joy. Believers in Christ, the church itself, rejoice in being sent with the authority of God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. We're not doing it on our own. We're doing it in Him. And it brings Him honor and glory. Maybe you're here this morning and you are not sure that if you were to die today that you'd go to heaven. I want to let you know that you can be absolutely sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven. I asked a little kid that once, he was about 12, and said, you can know today if you go to heaven, you know, when you die. And he looked at me and he says, right now? I said, no, not right now. Just when that time comes, you can be sure by asking Jesus Christ into your life. And so if you'd like to ask Christ in your life, we're going to give a hymn of invitation. If you have a prayer concern, I'm up here for you. Whatever the need is, you already know what it is. If God's leading you to step out and meet me up front or talk to me after church or fill out the little form in your little card in your bulletin and give it to me or one of the deacons or somebody, and they'll make sure I get it, and then I can contact you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's all stand, please. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for each one here today. Thank you, Father, for the things that you are doing in each of our lives. Thank you for everything good that we have, the things that we're aware of and the things that we are not aware of, for these things have come from you. Help us, Father, to have the heart of Jesus, to desire to do the will of our Father in heaven, to accomplish the mission that you have called us to accomplish in you, through you, and by your power. And I pray, Father, please, that as each one of us takes steps that stretch us to be that missional Christian in the world around us, may we only recognize your power and your grace and your love and your favor as we stand for you. In Jesus' name, amen.